Is this a person or a recording?
No, ma'am. This is a human person.
Okay, I just called the Weather Bureau and got a recording, and I freaked out here. And I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes.
And talked to the FAA this evening, and they gave me your address and phone number there.
Uh-huh.
Saw a couple of UFOs about a week ago, a little over a week ago. It was Tuesday, March 22nd. And have been sitting here for about 4 hours trying to trace down somebody else who saw it. And so far, I can't get any confirmation except the other person that was in the car with me. But would you like to hear what I saw?
Yes, I'd like to get a complete rundown starting right from the beginning.
Okay. This was on March 22nd, and it was in the evening around, I guess probably around 8 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Okay.
And I was in with a friend going from Crossett, Arkansas. You have a map. It's in the southeast part of the state.
Okay.
And we were going on Highway 82 toward Lake Village, which is just a little couple miles, about 4 miles to the north and about 20 miles, no, it's longer than that, about 30 miles to the east,
okay.
Something like that. And it was really clear that night. Was there was a crescent moon right to the west behind us, and there are only just little small towns in that whole area of the state, and so it's very clear. In Little Rock, you can't see the Milky Way anymore because of the all the street lights and everything. But there you can see the Milky Way, and I was really, everything was just, it was just more stars than I'd seen in a long time.
Yes.
So I was really looking at stars, and I saw this one star that I thought looked sort of funny, and I thought, well, it must be an airplane because it was changing color, like red to green, and back again, just kept changing red, green, green, red, or whatever.
Right.
And it was pulsating, not blinking, just pulsating. And I said, okay, Brenda, do you see what I see? And she says, yeah, that sure is a funny-looking light. And I said, now, if that's an airplane, it's got to be moving. So we watched it for a few minutes, and I said, that hasn't moved. That's, not an airplane. And she says, you're right, that's not an airplane. And I said, well, have you ever seen a star do something like that? She said, no, never seen a star do something like that. So when we were going through, and that area is piney woods, so we lose sight of it from time to time. When we got to Montrose, which is about two-thirds of the way toward Lake Village, the road goes very straight, and there's nothing in there but fields, just open fields. And so we kept it in steady sight for, about altogether maybe a good 20 minutes.
Yes.
Probably longer than that, but clear, uninterrupted vision at least a good 15 minutes, I think. And we got to a point where we've gone back and actually measured it, and it was 2.5 miles outside the city of the town of Lake Village, because you could see the lights of Lake Village on the horizon. And going past the city out of the corner of my eye, I was sitting in the passenger side, I saw something glowing, and I glanced out, how you do a double take,
right.
And I looked back, and I said, oh my God, Brenda, do you see what I see? And it was a round yellow light, and I had the feeling of a globe or a sphere. It looked like, it didn't look like a flat, it looked like it had depth to it,
right.
And there were no rays and no halo. And so since then, I've been looking to see something that looked like it. And the clearest thing I could see, that closest thing to it, would be like a frosted lamp, that where you have a globe-shaped lamp that's frosted, not transparent, but translucent.
Yes.
And a yellow light inside it. And the whole thing was just the same color, yellow. It was bright, bright, intense, about the same intensity as a headlight, but no rays and no halo. So it moved. It seemed to be hovering at about treetop level and moving slightly. And we stopped the car just as quickly as we could. And at the end of this field were some trees. She's gone back and measured, and she says where we stopped was a half mile, or not quite a half mile, about a third of a mile from the trees that were at the end of the field.
Yes.
So the UFO, or the yellow light, was between us and the trees. And it was hovering at treetop level and just barely moving. We had to stop the car and get out to look and make sure that it was really moving. But it really was. We watched it long enough to be sure it was. And we turned off the car motor so that we could hear an engine, if there was any, you know, motor sound.
Right.
And there wasn't. It was the spookiest quiet I have ever seen, or heard, I mean. You know. And, okay, when we first sighted the yellow globe, we think it was at about 2 o'clock. In other words, you know, if we were looking straight ahead at 12 o'clock, it would have been at about 2 o'clock.
Yes.
And we think we observed it move to about 1:30, 1:15, something like that. And we said, we were, of course, very excited, you know, because both of us have been UFO buffs for a long time. We've never seen anything, you know, that we really could clearly identify as being, we could clearly identify as unidentified. And so we said, look, you know, we both said at the same time, get in the car and let's go up and we'll catch it as it comes across the road, because it looked like it was going to keep on, if it kept on a straight line, it would cross the road just up ahead of us a little way. And we wanted to get a closer look. And it was like, in the instant that we said that, it just zapped off. It was like 1 second it, or, you know, now it's there and now it's gone toward the horizon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we could still see it, but it was just, God, I've never seen anything move so fast. And it was at the horizon, and it began to go toward the left, toward our left, you know. And about that time, I said, well, what's happened to the red and green thing? Because, you know, we had taken our eyes off of it and been watching this yellow thing. So I looked back up, looked for it, and it had moved. And we watched it move across our line of vision. It had been at about a 30-degree angle high and at about 11 o'clock. And it moved over across our line of sight to about 12:30. And the yellow one moved, you know, from a 2 o'clock to about that 12:30. You know, first it moved away from us toward the horizon, the yellow one did.
Yes.
And then it moved along the horizon, and it began to blink out. Like it would blink out and then on again and then out and then on. And when it got directly underneath the red and green thing, it blinked out, and we didn't see any more. And in the same instant that it blinked out, the red and green light lifted up and got smaller. In other words, it appeared to go higher and further away. We got in the car, and we could still keep the red and green light in sight. It took us about 5, no more than 10 minutes, but probably 5 minutes to get to where we were going in Lake Village. And we could still see it in the sky, although it seemed to be somewhat higher and somewhat fainter than when we had seen it before. And yet we seemed to be closer to it.
Yes.
Somewhat closer to it. It was like it was hanging at a little bit higher altitude over the Mississippi River, maybe, which is about, the Mississippi from Lake Village is about, 10 miles. Lake Village is right on a horseshoe lake called Lake Chico that, you know, was left from when the Mississippi changed course once upon a time.
Yes.
Okay, and it's not far, it's about 15 miles or so from Greenville, looks like, something like that, Mississippi. Anyway, we went inside and, you know, had to go to our meeting and so on, and when we got back out, it was gone. When we got back over to cross it, we called the sheriff's office, and I said, has anybody seen anything? You know, reported seeing anything in the sky? And he said, no. And I said, well, I did. And I told him about it. And he said, well, there are a couple state troopers monitoring you, and they say that somebody over near Dermot saw something reported something earlier tonight. Well, Dermot is 15 miles, well, maybe a little longer than that, maybe 25. I don't know. I can't tell on this map. It's an area map, not a state map. But
yes.
15, 20 miles, something like that. Due, just about due north of where we were when we saw all this. Well, I haven't really had any chance to check up on this since then because I've been working and out of town and whatnot. But I, this afternoon, have been making a whole lot of phone calls. I'm still not satisfied. I still haven't gotten a hold of the guy that I talked to at the Chico County Sheriff's Office that told me that. The guy that answered the phone, you know, when I called
yes.
that night. I'm going to try to get a hold of him again tonight. I've got a sergeant and the state troopers trying to check this out and find out who are the state troopers on duty. I've called radar facilities, and the nearest radar facility is a long range at Texarkana, which is about 180 miles away, and I don't think they could have seen anything. And I called the Fort Worth monitoring station, and they said even if we'd seen anything, we wouldn't have any record of it. I've called a couple of radio stations, and they Arkansas Radio Network says, well, there was something reported last the week before that, but it was confirmed as a meteor, and the Dermot police don't know anything about it, and the Dermot newspaper doesn't know anything about it. I'm really getting frustrated, you know, but I haven't given up yet. We're going to track down somebody who saw that, you know. But the two of us did see it, and we kept, you know, saying, I think this is what I saw. Did you see that? Yeah, that's what I saw, you know. We think that the yellow light was probably about the size of a small vehicle. Because the tape that I cut that night, I said if you could put your thumb up, you know, like you hold your arm out,
right,
and you would put your thumb up, your thumbnail could, you know, it would be about the size of that, or the size of a coin held up against, you know, held at arm's length. In other words, it's kind of like the moon, you know, only it was like down.
Yes.
You know, down a treetop level,
right.
Hanging over this field,
right.
You know, and moving off at these incredible speeds, you know. And I, you know, I'm not sure exactly how far we were away, but it had to be less than a third of a mile.
Okay.
Maybe a quarter mile. We never did see anything that looked like, I mean, we couldn't see any outline of a craft or anything like that. It was just the light, just the
yellow light.
Just the round.
Okay, now getting back to that shape again, you described that as being similar to the glass cover for a lamp that holds on lampshade. Is that correct?
Well, not so much in the shape. The shape was perfectly round. It was, in fact, I think it was spherical.
Okay.
It seemed to have a body to it. No, I was referring to the quality of the light.
Okay, then this would be more or less, the light would be more or less the center of this thing?
The whole thing.
Okay.
I mean, all of what I saw was the light. If there was anything else to it, it was too dark to see the anything else.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at. In other words, the light itself was
the
light
optic,
which you would look through this lamp.
Yeah, it's the quality of the light. See,
I
was trying to find something to compare it to because I kept saying, it was an intense, bright light. It was as intense as a headlight beam that you would meet head-on, you know, driving along a dark road.
Okay, now did the intenseness of that light illuminate the ground area or the trees?
No, but see, that's why it comes out like this globe thing, because
there
were no rays, there was no halo. I don't know about anybody else, but every time I'm looking out a window now and I'm seeing street lights and so on, and they all have a sort of halo around them. Or they, you know, if the car is coming towards you, there'll be kind of a beam.
Right.
But that's when a light shines through a transparent glass. But this was like it was, the closest thing that I have seen that looks anything like it was a lamp where it was a very thick frosted, not, you know, very thick frosted glass.
Okay.
And the light was shining through it. That's the closest comparison that I can make. But it was so intense, so bright, you know.
Did it have sharp edges, or were they rather fuzzy?
Oh. I think they were sharp, but
okay.
I'm not. I'd be more inclined to say. I mean, it was clearly defined. It was clearly. Yeah, it was sharp. It was clearly round.
Okay.
Clearly round.
Now, did
no
it,
question of it.
Okay. At any time, did that object get so low that it had the trees behind it?
Yeah. In other words, it was. We think that it was at about treetop level, but you see from perspective, you know, if the trees are like a third of a mile away from you, and it's between you and the trees, even if it's at treetop level, you know, if it's close enough to the trees, it's going to seem to be between you and the trees. You know, I mean, it's going to be silhouetted against the trees.
Did it at any time approach you?
No. In fact, it seemed like, well, when I say approach, it was coming toward the road that we were on.
Yes.
But it didn't veer from its course to come toward us.
Okay.
In fact, it seemed very much to us as though when we detected it and observed it that closely, like it seemed to us like a cause and effect, like it took off because it was being observed.
Okay, as though it was monitoring your thoughts, maybe?
In fact, that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it?
No.
the tape that we cut that night, as soon as we got back to Crossett, I even said that on the tape. I said something to the effect that we were both very excited, you know, and if there had been any telepathic receiver, they certainly could have gotten our message because we were very excited at seeing this thing. And we said, my God, it really is a UFO. I've been hearing about these things for years and, you know, never seen anything that we, you know. And I said, my God, that's it. You know, that's what it is. There's no question about it. And it was like it heard that and or saw us or whatever and took off. And it was like it signaled, okay, you know, obviously you're projecting your own human things on these things, right?
Right.
But, you know, hell, you got to use what you know to interpret these things. So it was the feeling that we got was that the red and green thing was some kind of a control device and that the yellow thing was some sort of a scout maybe or something and scanner or some kind and that it apparently was going along minding its own business doing something and we came on it and interrupted it and it was like it said, you know, whoops, let's get out of here, boys, we're being watched, you know, because they were obviously separately moving entities, and yet they were operating in cooperation with each other.
Okay.
And because they moved toward a common point.
Would you say that they were similar in size?
Well, now that is really hard to say because, from our perspective, you know, I mean, if you just want to say, you know, here was this light that was this big, and here was this other light that was, you know, another size. They weren't the same size of light that I saw, except that we knew that the red and green light was a hell of a lot further away from us than the yellow light. So it is possible. I don't know. We feel like we can determine fairly well the size of the yellow light, that it could have been about the size of a small vehicle. I don't think it's been any larger than that, maybe like a VW or a tractor or something. I don't think it would have been any larger than that. But I don't think it would have been much smaller than that either.
Did the brilliance of the yellow light affect your eyes at all?
No.
You never had to turn away from it?
No.
Okay.
I guess maybe we weren't that close, but... Okay.
Did you have your car radio on at the time?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Did you notice any interference at all with the electrical system of the car?
No. Of course, we turned the engine off.
Right, okay.
You know, we stopped the car and... We stopped the car when it was still, you know, quite a ways out there in the field. You know,
had you traveled this course before?
Have we traveled that road?
Yes.
Brenda has traveled that road several times.
Okay.
And since, you know, she's gone back since then and measured this off. It was interesting because we kept, that night when we took the tape, you know, we said, okay, how far away were we from town? And we said, 2 miles. Well, she went back one night this week. Maybe last night, I can't remember. Anyway, I just talked to her a while ago. And she said she measured from the from the first stoplight in town out to where the row of trees is exactly 2 miles. And then it was about a third of a mile on where we were stopped.
Okay. Now, in that area traveled, did you notice any outstanding surface features, either man-made or natural? Were there any power plants, high-tension wires?
Not that we can see. That's what we keep wondering because we, you know, in fact, I've planned to call AP&L and see if I can find out, you know, if there were any power lines. We didn't see any.
Okay.
It's just fields there. You know, it's just fields and trees. And now, Brenda said that when she was driving back, whatever night it was this week, that she looked over in the direction that the yellow light came from to see if she could see anything back over there. And that the only thing that she could see was a little cluster of small lights. Which we still don't know what that is. From looking on the map, there doesn't appear to be a town there, but, I don't know, it could be a farm or, I don't know. There are no roads back there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's just nothing but bayou and fields. And, we want to check that out a little bit more closely, but at this point, we sure can't say that we, you know, we can't, we just, doesn't seem to be anything back there.
Okay. Would that be an area where they have livestock? Pasture?
Yeah. There could be livestock. It's pretty much agriculture, though, not too much.
Okay.
Not too much, I mean, if somebody had a, you know, somebody owned a lot of land there, and they might have some cows and horses and stuff, too, but it's mostly fields.
Okay, do you have any estimate just how long you watched both of those objects?
Yeah, I think we watched the red and green light for, had to be at least 15 minutes, maybe 20, maybe longer. Somewhere outside of, okay, let's see. We can reconstruct this. Somewhere outside of Crossett, I mean outside of Hamburg, let's see. Now, you go out of Crossett, and Hamburg is about 15 miles away. And Montrose is about another 20 miles beyond that. So somewhere between Hamburg and Montrose is where we started, where we first spotted the red and green light. And we saw it on and off going around curves and through the piney woods there. But from the time we hit Montrose on, we observed it without interruption. That would be at least a good 10, 15 minutes without interruption.
Okay.
The yellow light, I don't know, it happened so quickly, it probably at least 30 seconds, maybe as long as 2 minutes. I don't think it was any longer than 2 minutes. I really can't reconstruct it any closer than that. I've tried to, and I don't have that close a time sense.
Okay. Have you had anything strange happen to you since then?
No.
No strange dreams about what you saw?
Well, no. I mean, the only thing strange that happened to me was that I felt awfully spooky that night. Just really spooky, you know, like looking around behind my back and stuff like that, you know.
Okay, you haven't noticed any changes in your personality or...
No, I'm just as ornery as ever.
And what's your age?
Am I 36? What year is it? 36.
Okay.
Oh, did I tell you what time it was?
About 8 o'clock.
Well, we got it more exact than that because when we saw the yellow light, Brenda has a digital clock on the dashboard of her car, and she remembered seeing that it was 8:32.
Okay.
I came back and told my boss about it. She was simply green with envy because she really has wanted to see one of these for a long time.
What is Brenda's age?
And she's... I don't know how old Brenda is. She's... well...
That's
30-ish. Somewhere between 25 and 40.
39 minus.
I've never heard her say, you know.
Okay.
She's got a 14-year-old daughter, so she's probably like 32 or something like that.
Well, I can tell you, we don't have anything for that area for that particular night. However, we did have a siege of two objects which were seen all over Southern California and up through the valley, San Joaquin Valley, in the early hours of that particular morning.
Oh, really?
On the 22nd.
Hmm.
Which are still unexplainable.
Well, were they anything like what I described?
Lights. Just bright lights.
Bright lights.
Right. And they weren't just streaking across the sky. They were maneuvering over certain areas and performing acrobats and so forth. So it was not a conventional type aircraft.
Hmm. Well, it's really very strange. What was especially interesting to me was I kept calling around trying to find out where was the nearest radar facility, because I called Professor Engel at the planetarium at UALR, University of Arkansas here in Little Rock, and I said, told him all about it. He said, well, you should try to find out where the nearest radar facility is and see if they observed anything. Well, it's practically in a dead spot. There really isn't any radar that is really observing that area.
Well, even if they did, they probably wouldn't tell you because that's classified information anyway.
Oh, really? Even FAA or something like that?
Right.
Okay, well, they didn't seem to take the bait or anything, so.
Right.
Brenda's husband said that he worked at a NASA site in southern Mississippi a few years back, and they used to see these very similar to what we saw, only usually there were two yellow lights in conjunction with the red and green one.
Yes.
And that they moved in such a familiar pattern or such a, repeated pattern that it, that a lot of people could get to where they just watched that pattern and they would see them fairly regularly. And Brenda said she had seen at one time something that said, look in that direction and you'll see something, and she had seen something, but had never, it was never that clear and never for, this, what we saw was just so, we saw it for so long and so clearly, and with the two of us, verifying what we were seeing with each other, it makes a believer out of me.
You got our number from the FAA in Little Rock?
Yeah.
Would that be from the tower?
Well, I'm not sure. It's a fellow by the name of Ernie Dodd, and I don't really know, I just looked at some number in the phone book, and I'm not sure exactly where he was.
Okay, that's...
but it's the FAA somewhere.
Right, okay.
Maybe their central
office. Probably the main officer.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to check this thing out, see if we can't come up with some more witnesses and get any more information. And if we do, we'll get back to you and let you know.
Well, I would really appreciate it, because it would certainly make me... I'm just interested in these things,
Right.
Sometimes it makes me feel a little bit less... strange. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, we sure appreciate your calling.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.